Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, today we're going to interrupt our series in 1 Peter for a few broadcasts and take a look at the scriptures in Ephesians chapter 4. And after we do that, we'll return to 1 Peter, so stay with us and we'll get back to that. But I want to talk to you about God's plan for church growth. This is a very hot topic in a lot of circles today. It is of great interest to many pastors and to many people. Some Christians seem to believe that church growth, numerical increase in churches, is the most important matter of all. That's not necessarily so, but it certainly is something that needs to be carefully understood and examined. But it is also important that whatever growth we experience be growth that is produced by the Holy Spirit of God, and not simply numerical growth that is not related to the work of God, for that is possible as well, as surely you must understand. Simply because something is growing does not mean necessarily that God has made it grow. And so it's very important that we study the Scriptures to find out God's plan for church growth, and then we direct our efforts in keeping with His plan so that we become His instruments, His servants, who are carrying out His work according to His way and experiencing divine results. Wouldn't you agree with me that that's the way it ought to be done? And so that's where we're going on this Monday, February 17. Thank you for joining us, and thank you for your gifts, which make this ministry possible. Well, I want to start with the growth words that are found in Ephesians 4, 15 and 16, where Paul says, "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together, by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." That's really the conclusion of the discussion that begins in verse 1. And obviously this is an emphasis upon growth, for we saw that word grow twice, first in verse 15 and again in verse 16. And I pointed out again, speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things unto Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying, or the building up of itself in love. And the reason I wanted to look at these verses carefully before we begin is just to establish that this passage is dealing with the subject which we have chosen, the subject of church growth, and therefore God's plan for church growth. What is it that leads up to the growth that is described in verses 15 and 16? And I think we have to begin with the necessary attitude for biblical church growth, and that's found in Ephesians 4, 1 through 6. And let me read it, and then we'll comment on it. Paul says, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord," this is one of his prison epistles written from Rome while he was in confinement, "I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. So what is the attitude that Paul calls upon the Ephesian believers to have, which is the predicate, the foundation for the kind of growth which we find described in verses 15 and 16? Well, he speaks about a Christ-like brotherhood, first of all, and of a doctrinal foundation, secondly, and finally of a spiritual reality. What is the Christ-like brotherhood? Well, as you know, if you are a student of Scripture, you're probably aware that the book of Ephesians, six chapters in length, is divided into two pretty obvious parts. The first three chapters are almost exclusively doctrinal, and then chapters 4 through 6 are what we often call practical. And that was Paul's usual pattern. He would begin by laying out sound doctrine, truth, information, theology about the gospel of Christ, and then, having made sure that that was clearly laid out and hopefully that his readers understood that, he would then go on to draw applications from it. Because this is true, here is how you must live. If you have believed this truth, then this is the result that it will have in your life. And in this case, what he's saying is, this is the result that it will have in your church. A Christ-like brotherhood is described here. This is very practical. We are told to walk worthy of our calling, in humility and gentleness and patience and forbearance, that is, in love, having a humble, loving relationship within the body of Christ, which is our first responsibility, even before we give attention to how we are to relate to the world beyond. You see, these 16 verses, beginning with chapter 4, verse 1, moving into what we call the practical section of the book of Ephesians, these 16 verses relate to the body of Christ, the local body of believers. And then Paul gives instructions relating to the world. If we go on to verse 17, we find these words: "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their mind," and goes on from there. So he will eventually get around to how we are to conduct ourselves in relationship to the world of unbelievers, the world of the unconverted, the world of the Gentiles who are walking in their sinful living. But before he talks about that, he talks about how we are to relate ourselves to one another in the body of Christ. And we are, in short, to work very hard to preserve and protect the unity of the body. Let me read verses 1 through 3 again of chapter 4. "I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." Paul is very focused upon the need for Christians to get along with one another, for churches to experience unity, harmony within the body of believers in the church. Paul is very interested that churches demonstrate a Christ-like humility, a Christ-like attitude, that members of the church walk worthy of the calling with which you were called. You have been called out of the world into the church. You've been called out of darkness into light. You have been called out of the domain of Satan into the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ, that requires different ways of living. Everything's different. Everything's different. So if this is true of you, in other words, if you have been saved, I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling for which you were called. And he describes that walking worthy. What's that look like? Here it is. Verse 2, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. You see where Paul begins? He doesn't begin in this issue of church growth. He doesn't begin with evangelism. He doesn't begin with activity. He doesn't begin with, here's what you've got to do. Get busy, all of you, and get out there into the world and find sinners and bring them in, witness to them and invite them to church and get them in. That's not where he begins. There's certainly a place for that, no question about it. As disciples of Christ, we are called upon to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Of course we are. But where does Paul begin? He begins with developing and maintaining proper attitudes within the body of Christ. In other words, get your church in shape. Get your church in order. Before your church can successfully reach out to others, before your church can successfully grow, you've got to be sure that your church is functioning the way that Christ intended. No sense in bringing more people into a church that's not functioning properly. All that does is multiply professing Christians who are dysfunctional. And that's not a good thing. Now, we don't hear much emphasis upon that, do we? When we're talking about church growth, it's always the activities that are necessary, the outreach attitudes that are necessary, and the techniques that are necessary. We need to do this. We need to change that. We need to find a way to be more appealing to unchurched people and so forth and so on. The focus is almost entirely on what we can do to reach out and get more people in. And Paul says, wait a minute. The first thing we need to do is to assess and correct our own attitudes and behaviors within the body of Christ to make sure that we have got a really healthy body, a truly spiritually healthy body of believers. That's where it all begins. Walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Start there. Start working on all these things. And when you are walking that way and relating that way among yourselves in the body of Christ, then there will be some things to do that will make you effective in reaching outside the body of Christ. It's an interesting approach. It is an unusual approach, at least unusual to the usual approaches that we hear so often in our day, and yet it is the biblical approach. It shouldn't be unusual. It's right here in the Bible. Isn't this our manual? Isn't this our guidebook? Isn't this where Christians go to find out how to carry out the work of God? Until tomorrow, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.